Hail Caesar! Caesar is Lord! The words would have been said and run a chilling through people's spine. The Jews, as they had heard about the declaration of how great Caesar was, were their response to this nation that had opposed them, that had persecuted them. There was racial tension. There was hatred. People would have spat the Romans on the Romans if they could get away with it. What we see in the days of Peter is a people who were under oppression. Well, in the first century, we find that was very evident. Through history, they're not the only ones. Maybe you can think of those in Poland or France during the occupied years. What about being a slave in the British Empire? History is littered with persecution, and even today it exists. Well, if you were a Jew then 2,000 years ago, as Peter was, a Jew, a disciple, an apostle of Jesus Christ, well, God has got a big message for you. God loves the Romans. In fact, God loves all the Gentiles. Gentiles meaning not just the Jews. And not only does he want them saved, but actually he's always wanted them saved. He's always wanted them to be restored in a right relationship with himself, as the whole of mankind yearns to be restored with God. Well, I think this passage in Acts is a shocker. It's a shocker for several reasons, and it is a pivotal point that we see the gospel taking a massive step towards us Gentiles, here, 3,000 miles away, and 2,000 years later. But we shouldn't be surprised. Why are we surprised? Why was Peter surprised? Well, if you knew Acts chapter 12, you'll know, Genesis chapter 12, you'll know that God had spoken to Abraham and told him, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great blessing. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Well, at that point, God's people, the Jewish nation that arose as descendants, direct descendants of Abraham, would be going, yes, God is on our side. But notice the end of the promise that was given to Abraham. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Galatians, our next slide tells us, Galatians says actually God always planned for all nations to be blessed. Galatians 3:8 tells us, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham at the time, that all nations will be blessed through you. What was shocking to the Jewish nation was that even Jewish Christians in those early years was that God was for the nations. To God, all lives matter. All nations matter. Getting circumcised and becoming a Jew was not part of God's plan. And as we look back in the Bible, it's easy for us to see and clear to see that this was God's plan all along. But at the time, in Peter's day, they struggled with grasping this truth. You see, they had understood the holiness of God's people, the fact that they had to be set apart. But it had developed into a superiority complex. This sense of ownership was, well, God was theirs, not anybody else's. He was their God. So even at Pentecost, when we see in Acts chapter 2, beware as you hear that this shocking step, as Jews gathered from nations around who spoke different languages, they gathered together, they heard this message. Verse 38, again it was Peter. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized every one of you," Acts 2:38, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Well, the Jewish Christians who had gathered would have heard that and would have thought, yes, God is going to raise up the Jewish nation once again. We will be God's special people. But actually, they've got a big lesson to learn. And from today's passage, we will shockingly see that God has a heart for all nations, even us, English Gentiles, 2,000 years later. We're going to see God calls us all to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, do you have a heart for the nations? Do you have God's heart for the nations? Or do you have like a Christian supremacist's attitude, a colonial Christianity, this belief that Jesus was English, middle class? He wasn't for all nations. But there are many in our nation that think just being British is being a Christian. Well, of course, none of us would put our hands up and claim to be have a favoritism. But sometimes we can fall into the trap of a Christless Christianity, a crossless Christianity. It's a Christless Christmas. You see, Christianity that doesn't need the cross, that doesn't need Jesus, that doesn't need repentance, that doesn't need the Holy Spirit, is what, sadly, many believe is being a Christian. Just be British. So let's take your Bibles and let's delve into our Bible passage today. We're going to look at chapter 10 as well as chapter 11 and see how God has a message for Peter and for the world. First point is this: even good, God-fearing charity workers need to be saved, need to repent and be saved. We live in an age where many think just nice, kind, generous people need not repent and believe. They just need to keep going. God has got a back door for them into heaven. But that's a Christless, a crossless Christianity. It's a false gospel. It's what the devil wants you to hear. It's what the devil wants to distract you. And so Cornelius, that Roman centurion, well, he was, as we're told, in chapter 10, verses 2 and verses 4. Listen to what it says. "He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly." Verse 4 tells us, it says, "The angel answered, 'Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.'" Cornelius was a great man. His family were a lovely family. Even the Jews loved them. But notice the angel didn't appear and say, "Well done, Cornelius. Keep going. Don't worry about the cross. Don't worry about Jesus. Just don't worry about repenting. Just keep going." No, what we see here is a miraculous intervention by an angel. God has sent for Peter because Cornelius and his household need to hear about Jesus. They need to be saved. They need the Holy Spirit. Can you see? Sometimes we get duped into thinking that people don't need to hear about Jesus, that they're just good enough. They're nice people. They don't need to repent and be saved. Well, chapter 11, we get this message. Verse 14 of chapter 11, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. It's through the message of Jesus that we see salvation. There's no other name under heaven through which you can be saved. So the first thing is, we all need saving. Even nice people need saving. Even British, middle-class English people need saving. And we'd be going against God if we didn't share the gospel with all those that we meet. But another issue that God picks up in this passage is this, is one of favoritism. One of favoritism. You see, in this passage, we see that people can be, well, distracted from sharing the gospel because of favoritism. In what was an amazing vision, three times Peter was told to eat unclean meat. And Peter was puzzled because he was a Jew. He was one of God's chosen people, of course. And they were set apart from other nations, and one of the ways that they were set apart is that they didn't eat what other people ate. This angel told Peter to get up, kill, and eat. If you look at this next slide, you'll see the picture. Get up, Peter, kill, and eat. Peter replies, surely, as a good Jew, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. Well, if you took a little trip back to Leviticus chapter 11, you'll see that Moses and Aaron were told by the Lord, verse 2 of chapter 11, say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones that you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. Leviticus 11 is a great read. If you read it, it tells you there's no eating and there's no touching. Sea creatures that don't have scales, no eating, no touching. You're not allowed to eat eagles, vultures, not allowed to eat the raven. It's listed there in Leviticus 11. But you can eat locusts and grasshoppers. Phew. Or should I say, ew. There's no rats. You're not allowed to eat rats or lizards. But on the list, there are rabbits and pigs. That means no bacon. No bacon. Well, it was part and parcel of the way that God wanted his people to be a holy, set-apart people. That all the nations may see that they are set apart and see God glorified in this different and distinct people. And so, when we get to this point in Acts, we suddenly realize that what really makes you unclean is not what you eat. It never was what you ate. It was what comes out of your heart. It's what comes out of your mouth. Have a look with me at Matthew chapter 15, verses 10. Jesus called the crowd with him and he said, listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not make them unclean. It was there was a debate at the time. You can have a look at it with the disciples. But it's what comes out of their mouth that makes them clean. It's what comes out of our heart. It's our heart problem. That's what makes us unclean. And so from this point onwards, it's declared all foods are clean. And the voice came a second time, verse 15. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Three times Peter is told to eat. Don't you love Peter? There's a real echo. I love Peter. Three times he messes up and denies the Lord. And three times he's restored at the fireside saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And here we've got another three times. It's like telling someone three times. Peter, I love you. Just you need to grasp this. Let me tell you it three times. And so Peter's prejudices, God needs to highlight. Well, Peter was struggling, kind of going, is this just about food, Lord? Is that what it's all about? He didn't grasp what this was about. But then he realized, actually, Peter puzzled and realized it was about people. And how we can be an obstacle to gospel growth because of our prejudices, because of our favoritism. So his prejudices would have got in the way of this centurion and his family hearing the gospel, receiving the Holy Spirit. Verse 34 of our passage. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation, even the Romans, that the Jews would have wanted to spit on, even them, the one who fears him and does what is right." You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Do we show favoritism in our love for others, in our friendships, in our gospel outreach? Are we biased to the point that we're prejudiced? Peter then tells us about Jesus and how, verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. We get a short synopsis of all that Jesus has done, and then we're told he is the judge of the living and the dead. Now, have you worked out those that have lived and those that have died is pretty much everybody. In fact, I don't know anybody who hasn't lived and hasn't died that isn't going to be judged. That's the picture here. It's inclusive. Everybody. There's no exceptions for people who live in other countries. There's no exceptions from people of different religions and races. It is all. God has appointed Jesus as judge of the living and the dead. No one's missed out. And then Peter, verse 43, says that this was the message all along. Verse 43, key spot. All the prophets testify, prophets, speaking of the Old Testament prophets, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jonah, Nahum, Obadiah. They're all prophets in the Old Testament, and they were messengers to the Gentiles. Peter, and we shouldn't be surprised. And so we see in this passage, as it were, a Pentecost affirmed for the Gentiles. Verse 15, in chapter 11 now. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, so if God gave them the same gift that he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Verse 18, when he heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life. Can you see how this was such a landmark event? The gospel goes from this point onwards to all nations. So let me draw back on the two big things that I've just highlighted from our passage today. And maybe you're there thinking that you're maybe not a Christian. You're a good, God-fearing charity worker. Maybe you're just British and you think that's what being a Christian is all about. Know that you need to be saved. You need to hear what Peter had to say. You need to know of the repentance that leads to life. Maybe you're there and actually you know of someone who is like this. Maybe you're a Christian and you have repented and you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit at work in you. But how you see others? You see your friends and you think they're good. They're good, generous, kind people. They're like Cornelius. I don't need to tell them about Christianity. I don't need to invite them to church. I don't need to say to them that they need to be saved and repent. Good, God-fearing charity workers need Jesus and need to be saved. Good, God-fearing Jews needed Jesus and needed to be saved. Good God-fearing, well, us, anyone of all nations, need Jesus, need to repent and be saved. Let us guard our hearts from a Christless Christianity. That's not good news for anyone. And let's guard ourselves against a Christless Christianity. A Christless Christmas. It's empty. It's not good news for anybody. Let's guard ourselves against a Christless Christianity, because it just means death, judgment, and separation from God forever. Let's guard our hearts from that attitude. But secondly, guard our hearts from prejudice and being an obstacle to gospel growth. Maybe God has spoken to you and said, you're a bit like Peter today. Do you know those friends? You're getting in the way of them hearing the gospel because you think, like Peter does, that the gospel is not for them. Do you have prejudices that are obstacles to gospel growth? Let's pray that God would work in us and challenge and change us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for just the gracious way that you spoke to Peter. Thank you that the gospel message has always been that Jesus is coming to save all nations. Guard our hearts from prejudice. Guard our hearts from an unwillingness to share the gospel with others. Guard our hearts, we pray. And by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that is at work in us and through us, may we be a blessing to all those that we know and meet, not just here, but in all nations. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.